What's up, Alabama fans? It's Andrew Bone here with BamaInsider.com. We are less than 24 hours away from National Signing Day. I got a special guest on the line with us this evening, and it is Sam Spiegelman. Many of you guys know Sam. Covers Louisiana, Texas, kind of the whole Southwest region for Rivals.com. Does a great job, and I know he's a friend of the show. So what's up, Sam?
Not much, man. Just, taking advantage of every free second we have, and I'm happy to be here with you.
Well, it's, like you said, or like I just said, it's, we're 24 hours away from National Signing Day. It's been a wild ride. This has been probably the craziest year in all of our years of covering recruiting, hasn't it?
It's been different, to say the least. And I think, it's tough to cover kids that aren't visiting a lot of schools because you're really just, you're kind of deciphering which relationships loom the largest for these kids. And you know, I would say for the most part, most kids are staying regionally, but Alabama has been the exception, and that's what drives us to have these conversations in and around signing day so often is, despite the national trends, Alabama bucks all those trends and continues to recruit nationally at a very high level.
Well, one of the top kids in the country, Kamar Wheaton, is going to be announcing. Well, I don't want to say announcing, but he's at least signing on Wednesday. We were told it was at 8:30. It's going to be at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, so won't really have to stretch that out. We'll know for sure what he's going to be doing early in the morning. He's been kind of a wild card throughout this whole process. Back from naming his favorites and then really kind of narrowing it down to now. Between Alabama and Oklahoma, we all thought he was going to Oklahoma, but announces for Alabama. Just talk about how wild it's been just covering Kamar's recruitment, and why has he been so quiet?
Yeah, Kamar is a different kind of cat. I've been able to get kind of close with Kamar and his coaches over at Lakeview Centennial, and Kamar, even though he doesn't do a lot of interviews, he doesn't like the limelight. He doesn't want people to really be discussing him as often as we do. He really would rather talk about his team or defer to his teammates and coaches. I don't know if he loves the limelight, but he's going to go to Alabama, and they tend to be in SEC races and college football playoff races. So the limelight will eventually follow Kamar. In terms of his recruitment, it's been tough to cover because he doesn't like to openly discuss it, but he gives little bits and hints here and there. So we've been able to monitor it, pretty well throughout, to the best of our abilities. Early on, I think he was, when he was able to go visit Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama and LSU, I think, this direction could have gotten pulled in a lot of different directions. But it boiled down to, at one point, Texas and Oklahoma. In that race, Oklahoma started to pull away. Alabama remained in the mix and eventually closed the gap. Oklahoma's best selling point was they needed a running back for this cycle, and it's closest to home in Garland, Texas. Kamar lives with his grandma. He's very close with his grandma. And Oklahoma gave him the best shot of playing a high level of college football and also being close to home. But the Alabama coaches sold him on what was available to him in Tuscaloosa. And I think he had that discussion, a lot of long, hard discussions with his family, with his grandma about being away from home. And they decided that Tuscaloosa was the best fit for him, regardless of how close it is or isn't to home. And, grandma, maybe she'll go out to Tuscaloosa with him, just like to his family, follow them from Hawaii. I think they just realized that in terms of the coaches and recruiting him, that was the best spot. They felt comfortable with those coaches over at Alabama and what they could do for Kamar and his future there.
A lot of people are, patiently waiting to see the final news from Kamar tomorrow. I think he's gonna stick with Alabama, and a big part of him sticking with Alabama is, if he does stick, Alabama's gonna have the highest rated recruiting class of all time, according to Rivals.com. Just talk about Kamar Wheaton, what he kind of brings to the table. How talented, is this guy?
Well, first off, I do believe that Kamar will sign with Alabama tomorrow. I know that there have been rumors popping up over the last couple of days, but none of those have come from anyone in Kamar's camp that I've spoken with. I know that he's kind of draped in mystery, but in terms of you know, he waited to a certain point to make his decision. I think he did that for a reason. He wanted to feel comfortable and he wanted to be done with this process. And I think he feels good about Alabama, even after some of the staff changes, about his future there. In terms of his ability on the field, what an explosive home run threat. I think he's a little bit different than the running backs we just saw at Alabama, like Najee Harris. You know, he's more of a speed guy, a slasher, can break tackles, he's really improved his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. You know, we don't know what Alabama's offense is going to look like now that Coach Sarkisian's at Texas. So if you start looking at their backfield, you got guys like Kamar Wheaton. I can see them spreading it out, getting him involved in the passing game, letting him cut outside, make a lot of and obviously he's going to split time with all the other talented running backs there. But you can design an offense around Kamar Wheaton, and that offense is going to score a lot of points. He's just that big home run threat with 6 foot, 190, 200 pounds, but 4.4 speed. And once he finds a seam, he's out.
One other player I wanted to talk about that's in your recruiting area is Brian Thomas, four-star wide receiver from Louisiana. Has the top three Alabama, Texas A&M, and LSU. Many assume probably going to end up at LSU. But what's kind of your take as of right now with Brian Thomas as we get closer to signing day tomorrow?
Yeah, if you think getting information on Kamar is hard, try getting information on Brian Thomas. Again, just a fantastic athlete, two-sport athlete, and for most of his recruitment the last 3-4 years, it's been between LSU and Alabama. And even though he lives only a couple minutes outside of Baton Rouge, it's always felt like it could have went either way. It was never, you know, a hometown kid just kind of putting on a charade about leaving the state. I think at different points he has been leaning toward Alabama, and at points I was pretty confident he would have committed to Alabama if he would have went through with his decision. He is held off. And listen, I think there's still a possibility that we do not get an answer on Wednesday, but I think it's starting to look like Brian will reveal his decision tomorrow. I think Alabama is still in this. I believe it's going to go up until the buzzer, but it seems like LSU and A&M are battling this out right now. And with that in mind, I know that Alabama has continued the dialogue with Destin Hill out of Edna Carr. He's been a big Florida State lean for what feels like 9 or 10 months at this point. But the dialogue between Pete Golding and Destin Hill and Nick Saban has continued. He's going to also announce tomorrow morning. And while I still feel pretty confident that Florida State will be the pick for him, Alabama's still in it, and they've pulled off some surprises in December, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe another one February 3rd.
One big surprise that we saw in December was Joe Durrell flipping his commitment from LSU to Alabama. And you've had an opportunity to see, and I know you'd seen him in the past, but you had an opportunity to see him in state championship. Just talk about what you saw in Joe Durrell, and also how close was he to becoming a five-star on Rivals?
Yeah, he was someone I got to see week one of the season. And then I got to see him my last games of the season in state championships up at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. I love JoJo Earl's game. He's been someone I've always been kind of looked at as a marvel kind of prospect. You know, he's 5'10", 180 or so pounds soaking wet. He's not the first guy that you're going to see off the bus, especially when at Alabama. He's going to be behind guys like Jaden Roberts and Tommy Brockermeyer and J.C. Latham. But JoJo Earl is so explosive. He's one of the most explosive athletes I've ever gotten a chance to cover. You know, I don't want to make the comparison to Jalen Waddle, because Jalen might be the best slot receiver I've ever seen up close, but he is in that conversation. He is so dynamic with the ball in his hands, and he's improved his game in so many different ways. You know, his feet are so quick that he makes fantastic catches along the sidelines in traffic. He's got great hands. We see that he can beat people over the top. You can do that with the speed he has, but the way he can make people miss in the open field, he can break tackles here and there. He just adds that kind of gadget threat in an offense that Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, all these speedsters can do to an offense. And, you know, we're talking about a new offense at Alabama that has speed in the backfield with Kamar Wheaton. You also can put JoJo Earl in the backfield. You can put him in the slot. You can put him out wide. You can put him at Wildcat quarterback. And that's going to add so much multiplicity to any Alabama offense. And getting those two guys on board, yeah, JoJo is certainly in the five-star conversation. He ended up, I think, finishing as the number 5 wide receiver in the country. And I think when you're a slot receiver and you warrant that respect as the number five receiver in the country, it says a lot.
And he was the fourth Rivals 100 wide receiver to sign with Alabama during the early signing period. So it's a big get for the Crimson Tide back in December. And, you know, another kid that signed with Alabama in December, kind of held off from announcing it, was Jaden Roberts out of North Shore, you know, a kid that you're very familiar with. And I know that you've been very high on Jaden Roberts for a long time as well.
Yeah, Jaden, you know, in terms of raw physical talent, he's up there with any offensive lineman. You know, I think Doug Marrone is the new offensive line coach at Alabama, and he's going to have a lot of fun getting a very raw but very talent-laden, high upside offensive lineman in Jaden Roberts. You know, he walks off the bus. He looks like he could suit up for the Atlanta Falcons or the New Orleans Saints tomorrow. He's got a long way to go in terms of his technical development as an offensive guard. But that's why you go to Alabama and you get developed. Just exceedingly powerful. He's so good in pass protection. I don't even think he realizes what he's doing, that he's just so stout there. He creates a great anchor. He needs to work on, you know, his hand placement and finishing a lot. But I think he'll get there because he's so gifted, you know, athletically and in terms of brute force. In terms of the class they signed with Brockermeyer and Latham at the top, and obviously James Brockermeyer and the other guys they signed, getting Jaden Roberts as your fourth or fifth offensive lineman, he could be a headliner for a lot of other teams. And I think that he could be, you know, a guy that has a career kind of maybe in 2 or 3 years that we start talking about being an anchor of that offensive line.
Yeah, Alabama's recruited the state of Texas extremely well, but never really anything like this before. You know, going in there and getting the type of players that they've landed in this class, including the Brockermeyer twins, who, you know, even though Texas was struggling a little bit, it's still pretty tough to flip those legacies. Just talk about, you know, what Alabama was able to do in Texas this year and the success that they've had, and is this the I don't want to say they've had more success than anybody else in Texas, but this may be one of the most successful recruiting jobs that a program outside the state of Texas has done in quite a while, right?
For sure. Alabama, Texas A&M dominated the state of Texas recruiting in the landscape for 2021. You know, Alabama did do better in the state of Texas, and they took guys right away from Texas's hands, and I think ultimately it cost Tom Herman his job. You're talking about the Brockermeyers. Obviously, one is the number 8 or 9 player in the country, and Tommy finished as the number one player in the state of Texas, which was not an easy decision this year, with a host of 5 stars. And Tommy Brockermeyer was, I guess, the safest floor, and just obviously a tremendous upside for being a prototype at the left tackle position. And he's a legacy at Texas. His brother was on the roster, you know, and Alabama winning that recruitment, I think, sealed the fate of Tom Herman. And it's a colossal get, but then you dip a little bit deeper. Jalen Milroe finished as the number one quarterback in the state. You talk about someone with dual threat ability, as good as anyone in the country. I think we've talked about this before. He's continued to get better and better as he got older. And by the time he graduated from Katie Tompkins, I know he's on campus now, really turned into an accurate passer. He pass first quarterback that has the ability to make plays with his legs as well. Student of the game, and I know that Alabama always had a leg up in his recruitment, but the timing of that flip to Alabama made a serious dent in what Texas was trying to do. And then beyond that, Kamar Wheaton, you know, Jaden Roberts, these are talented guys that not only Texas and Texas A&M wanted, but Oklahoma, LSU, powers across the country wanted. So Alabama won national battles for these guys. Will it continue? We'll see. I think Jeff Banks played quietly a very big role, and that's why he was such a hot commodity for Coach Sark when he landed in Austin. And Coach Flood, I think, did a fantastic job, obviously, with the haul he brought in 2021. We've talked about over and over again with J.C. Latham and the Brockermeyers and Jaden Roberts. But Alabama's always going to recruit elite offensive linemen, whether they come from Texas or Louisiana or Alabama or Georgia or Florida. But I think Jeff Banks will be the loss that maybe Alabama fans notice as they recruit the Lone Star State for the upcoming classes.
Yeah, I think when you look at the players from Texas in this class, like Jaden Roberts and Tommy Brockermeyer and Kendrick Blackshire, these are probably the guys that you want to get off the bus first when you pull up at a rival SEC stadium, especially Kendrick Blackshire. I mean, that's a physical specimen right there, right?
Yeah, and Kendrick Blackshire, that was a battle with Alabama versus LSU. Maybe it didn't get the publicity that it might have in recruiting cycles past. Obviously, you and I are very familiar with all of the LSU-Alabama recruiting battles in years past, and Alabama sealing the deal when they did for Blackshire, that was, multiple times was close, as you know, to committing to Alabama. But Coach Orgeron and obviously the different defensive coordinators at LSU continued to work to try to get Blackshire in the fold. That's a great get for Alabama. I don't think this cycle was as talented with linebackers as maybe some other classes, but Kendrick is a rare talent that with his size at 6'2", 240 pounds, can move the way he does, can cover, obviously can lay the wood and knock someone on their backside pretty easily. I think, again, he's someone that you kind of trust when he goes to Alabama, works with Coach Golding and Nick Saban. He's going to turn into a star, just like Dylan Moses and Christian Harris. He reminds me a ton of Christian Harris, but obviously bigger, more physical, and more in tune with the linebacker position. I think he'll be making an impact pretty shortly in Tuscaloosa.
You mentioned, Coach Banks and the impact that he had in this recruiting class, and now he's at Texas. Speaking to any 2022 guys in Texas, have you heard any mention about that, or do you think Alabama is still going to continue to have success in the Lone Star State?
Yeah, I think obviously, you talk about coaches and coordinators that leave Tuscaloosa year in and year out and take head coaching jobs or coordinator jobs elsewhere. And that's what we saw this year. That's kind of a tradition every time Alabama wins a national championship, which is basically every, 700 days or so. You can count on the staff getting pulled apart. You see that time and time again, and Alabama rebounds pretty nicely. I think that Jeff Banks is a huge asset for Coach Sark as he kind of gets his feet wet in Austin. But Alabama has national recruiting appeal, and that's in Texas, and that's in Louisiana, that's in Mississippi, that's anywhere in the country. They're coming off a national championship, which, as that gets juices flowing for recruits. They want to play in title games. They want to play in the playoff games. And Nick Saban, no matter who his special teams coach is, who his offensive coordinator is, who his defensive line coach is, has a habit of playing in those big games. And that's what the attraction of Alabama is in Texas. It might be a harder battle to rip them out of Texas now, with A&M is recruiting at a really high level. Oklahoma always recruits the state very well. And Texas, as we're starting to see, they got a commitment on the day after the national championship from Armani Winfield, who was being recruited by Alabama and Coach Sarkisian. You might lose a few more, but I expect when Alabama dials in and targets the guys that they want and makes priorities, they're going to be in it to the end, just like they have been in 2021 and before then.
Do you see with Coach Sark and Coach Banks, Coach Flood, and that whole staff over at Texas, do you expect Texas to kind of regain control of the state?
I don't know if they'll regain control of the state, but I think that they're on track to do so. I think he's put together a really fantastic staff, Coach Sark, and we've talked about, it's probably the weirdest year of recruiting that we can ever recall. Coach Sark maybe had the best recruiting tool possible by having a national championship game on a Monday, taking the job a few hours later at Texas. And obviously it yielded a commitment from Armani Winfield. It's gotten the attention of other elite prospects that were, considering Alabama and Texas, and now he's at Texas. So it's an easier recruiting tool to recruit the state now. I think he's going to have an advantage because of his experience at Alabama for so long. I think it was kind of an eye opener to realize how long he's been at Alabama already. So I think, there are certain kids in Texas that would prefer to stay closer to home, and Coach Sark is going to take advantage of that. At the same time, these national guys and Texas in 2022 in particular has a lot of those elite guys that are five stars, Rivals 100, Rivals 250. They're still going to listen to Alabama, but I think Coach Sark put together a good staff. He was very keen on getting Banks, which was, a key foundational piece you want. Coach Flood, whether he was at Alabama, Texas, Rutgers, is going to recruit, at a really elite level. And then getting guys like Terry Joseph, who has experience at Notre Dame, recruiting Louisiana. He's from Louisiana. That gives you a regional edge. And from then on out, you know, it's all about the staff. But in order to recruit Texas and gain momentum, you got to prove it on the field, and that'll be his first test.
I want to ask you one more question about Alabama's recruiting class, and that's Tommy Brockermeyer. He's already enrolled at Alabama. In your opinion, do you think he has the ability to contribute as a true freshman?
100%. I think, you know, my first time seeing Tommy play live was at a Rivals camp. I think it was right before his junior season, right after his sophomore season, when he started to get all these offers. And he was, you know, we talk about all these five stars and talented guys that we've seen over the years, Bear Alexander and, Tommy Brockermeyer handled all these guys with ease. Obviously, when your dad is Blake Brockermeyer and you were an All-American at Texas and you played in the NFL, and he got fantastic coaching from not only his dad and working so feverishly with his brother to be the best at their crafts, but he comes from a really good program at All Saints Episcopal, and they're really into, you know, the development, and having his dad coach him during a COVID offseason as he recovered from shoulder surgery. And when I saw him week one, that was a game I kind of threw into the mix at the last second, just because you wanted to see what Tommy looked like after his shoulder surgery, and he didn't miss a beat. He was stronger. He's more athletic. He's so technically gifted. And we talk about Jaden Roberts having to go a long way in terms of his technical proficiency. And that's a big test for Doug Marrone as Alabama's offensive line coach. I can't even imagine what Doug Marrone's reaction is going to be when he sees the Brockermeyers and how technically advanced they are at such a young age. And they've been that way for some time already. I think Tommy could make an impact. Could put him at left tackle, at right tackle. You can put him at guard. I think he's going to want to see the field. I think he is the best offensive tackle I've had a chance to see in my time as a Rivals analyst, no question. And I think James, for that matter, is, you know, James has had to overcome, you know, a smaller frame. And I think, you know, it's been well documented, gaining over 100 pounds over the last couple of years. But what stands out about James is he just wants to hit someone. He's played center. He's played guard. He's played tackle. He's played defensive tackle. He's played defensive end for All Saints Episcopal. You know, I think he's a hard worker. I think that work ethic is going to really stand out when you get to Tuscaloosa, because everyone has talent. It's about who continues to put in that work. I think Tommy and James are going to live in that weight room. You've heard about legendary Alabama players who love to live in the weight room at Alabama. And I think those guys are going to be lifting weights all hours of the night. And I think James, you know, maybe not as naturally gifted as Tommy, but as good of a work ethic as any prospect I've ever covered. So I don't think it'll be long before James makes an impact as well.
Yeah, I know James probably, if not the one of the smartest people in Alabama's recruiting class in the honors program already down in Tuscaloosa. You know, before we let you go, got to talk to you about this new Alabama commitment. Great name, Walter Bob. you know, I texted you yesterday to see if this commitment was legit, because I had not heard of him. You know, you see the post on Twitter, you're not really sure. You know, I'd created a recruiting board on Bama Insider maybe a week or two ago of all the 2022 guys on it, which was a big list, and you know, had not listed his name on there. So people were wondering, is this guy really legit? Does he really have a legit offer? And clearly he did. And you know, once we confirmed, and I spoke with you and spoke to some of my sources, confirmed it was a legit offer. He's a legit person, and you provided us some good highlight clips. But let's talk about Walter Bob, and you know, tell Alabama fans, who is this guy?
Yeah, you know what? Let's say it. Pete Golding and his connections to Louisiana. This is someone that other SEC schools were aware of, and Pete Golding took a chance, and he yielded an early commitment. He's been checking on Walter Bob for several months, from what I understand. And Acadiana is, they're the top of the football world in Louisiana. They're back-to-back state champions at the 5A level. And they won one of the most exciting state championship games I've ever been on hand for a couple months ago up there in Natchitoches, Louisiana. And in that game, you know, I say a couple hours before the game, I got a text from someone in the area who has coached with Walter Bob and said, keep an eye out for, I think he wears 88. And on their defensive line, you have an all-state defensive end. Cam George is going to UL. And, you know, on their defense, you got LaTerrence Welsh, who's the top cornerback in the state for 2022. But it was Walter Bob who came up with one of two most impactful plays in that game, hustling down the line. I sent the play to you because it's such a great play. He just jars the ball loose. It was a big turnover in the game, and kind of playing out of position on the interior. He's beating guys left and right for tackles behind the line of scrimmage, a couple of sacks, and just he's a high motor player. He's 6'4", 250, and honestly, I saw him over the weekend at a little camp up there in Lafayette, and I had to ask who he was, and it was Walter Bob, who I saw in the state championship game, and he's super twitchy. He's super quick. He's going to be ranked in the 22 rankings later this month, and yeah, he's a guy that Alabama believes that they can groom and kind of bring to their potential. But in terms of raw talent, Walter Bob's got that juice. And 6'4", 250, twitchy, physical defender, can play on the edge. And obviously he plays on the interior for Acadiana. I think he's someone, again, you go to Alabama, you trust that he gets developed. But he's already catching coaches' attentions already. But you got to credit Pete Golding, his connections to Louisiana, and how they loom large. And he certainly woke up the rest of the SEC by not only offering but getting the commitment on Monday.
All right, Alabama fans. Well, that is Sam Spiegelman. Sam, tell everyone where they can follow you and keep up with all your great work.
At Sam Spiegs on Twitter. I'll be the one tweeting all day from about, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. We'll be trying to follow all the storylines. And Alabama's in it, as you'd expect. And I appreciate you all having me on to talk about these guys.
Absolutely, Sam. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And Alabama fans, remember, you got Kamar Wheaton announcing his, at least signing at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and Terrion Arnold announcing his decision tomorrow at 3 p.m. on ESPN. We have our predictions on BamaInsider.com right now, so go check it out and have a good evening, and we'll see you on signing day.